عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
إياكم أبا آمر حوالي.
الحمد لله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah. We, in the class yesterday, discussed a Babu Man Satara Musliman, the chapter about the one who covers the faults or the flaws of his brother. He shields him and then he protects him. We picked that from a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and others from the verses of the Quran that show so. For example, Allah says that in the Ladina is the Buna and Tashi al Fahisha Tasiladina Amanu Lahum Adabun Ali. Those who desire, who like it, they enjoy it. Antashi al Fahisha. Yuhibbuna an tashi al Fahisha. They like it that Fahisha goes spread. Yuhibbuna an tashi al Fahisha to filladina. They like it that amongst the Muslims, evil, obscene things become announced. People go about shouting. One sheikh did one thing that was bad. One imam did one thing that was inappropriate. One eleha said one thing that was improper. Like that, one hafiz of the Quran said one thing. One like this. They enjoy it. Why? It makes them feel as if being a hafiz of the Quran itself is the problem. It makes them feel as if being the imam itself is a problem. So we don't need to be an imam. That thing propagates evil in the society. When people known with goodness have evil spread about them. That was what the Munafiqun tried with Hadi Fatul Ifq. The incidence of the evil slander about our mother, they desire it so as to destroy the deen from within. Look at you who say you are righteous, the whole wife of the messenger. How could you have done something like this? So that will go in the minds of the people. So all other invitation to righteousness by the messenger will be difficult. Why? Look at your wife. Look at your home. So don't come and tell us to be righteous if your wife can't be righteous. This makes us understand the serious difficulty that the likes of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and Lut were in alayhi salatu wasalam. That was why Allah referred to those women and their actions as khiyana. Call them khiyana, bakhonata, the two of them, the wife of Nuh, the wife of Lut, khonata. The two of them treated their husband with treachery. They were traitors. It's quite unfortunate. So when information goes about circulating about good people, it is not in the interest of the rest of the good people. Because bad people want to say, what is it about being good? After all, good people to do this bad thing. isn't it that the good and the bad in the society, when they fall into sin, the bad falls into sin, like the one who deliberately jumps down from a sky, while the righteous, when they commit a sin, it's like someone who falls, isn't falling, different from deliberately jumping down. The same thing, from the same story, deliberately jumping down to commit suicide. Is it not different from someone who flips and falls down? Evil people like to equate between the two. But people who are reasonable and righteous will understand that these two are different. And in the book and the records of Allah, they are different. So the difference, in fact, comes from the two people. While the righteous races towards Tawbah, the indifferent and the wicked continues upon evil, even after they have both fallen. So it means the rest of us who want to talk about it, we must also understand the difference between the two in terms of exposing them or concealing them. For the group of those who only fall out of mistake, out of error, they were overrun by shaitan. They were overrun by their desire. So many other things. For these kinds of people, Al-Asulufihim Fatru, the basic rule about them is to protect them, to shield them. Don't expose them. The Prophet said about these people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من ستر أخاه المسلم في الدنيا ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة. Anyone who conceals this kind of a person in this world, Allah will conceal his own faults too in this world and the hereafter. Let us look at this side. What is the benefit of his being promised that Allah will conceal his faults? That is because every human being, including the wicked, they like it that their faults are complete. Even in this world, every person, every human being likes that his faults are concealed. So the benefit of concealing, shielding and protecting the person who is ordinarily a good person who falls into a mistake is that you who did that and protected him, Allah will protect you, subhanahu. He will also shield your faults from the sight and the attention of people in this world. And then in the hereafter, Allah will seal your faults too. He will conceal it from the people. He will shield it from the people. Because some of the people will be disgraced openly. May Allah protect us. In the day of Qiyamah, the disgrace and insult. In fact, they will be shouted upon, Allah, La'natullahi ala al-kadibin. Everybody, وَيَقُولُ الْأَشْهَادُ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They will be shouted upon in front of everybody. These are the people who lied and ascribed lies to their Lord. And they will be cursed publicly. But for some people, Allah will show them their faults and conceal it. As I concealed it for you in the dunya, I conceal it for you here. You will just see that they are getting into Al-Jannah happy. You will not see that they had faults. One of the jobs you will do to gain that is that you conceal the faults of people who are basically righteous, struggling to be good, falling short, standing up, struggling, running about, making salah, making ribadat, struggling, trying to be better persons. Don't equate them with the criminal who is rather hiding, if it's not upon a criminal act, is rather hiding to be able to commit another one. These two persons are different. So if you cover his faults, Allah will cover you. Today, bismillah, we look at another bab. Babu qawli rajuli halaka an-nas. The chapter regarding an individual saying that halaka an-nas, The last hadith we read was hadith 758. So today our reading will be from hadith 759. So Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he wants to tell us, what does it mean? We say, these people, their own has this point. People say that, Yorubas, you say, Timothy budget. They are destroyed. These people, what good is in them? Condemning and generally putting a disclaim, a statement of general disdain over a group of people. Say that it is people, they are destroyed, they are gone. Their own is finished like that. Upon the generality of the people. Is this lawful for us? Will it count as from riba? May Allah protect all of us. Imam al-Bukhari has mentioned a hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And this reads, as we said, as hadith 759. Al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا إسماعيل قال حدثني مالك عن سهيل بن أبي صالح عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال إذا سمعت الرجل يقول هلك الناس فهو أهلكهم إذا سمعت الرجل يقول هلك الناس فهو أهلكهم. The Imam al-Bukhari reports this hadith from his sheikh. We read a lot of ahadith from him. Ismail ibn Abi Ways. Ismail, like we usually repeat, ibn Abi Ways was the son of the sister of Al-Imam Malik. Imam Malik had a sister. The son of his sister was Ismail. He took a lot of knowledge from Al-Imam Malik. And he happens to be one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, from the scholars of Al-Madina. Ismail ibn Abi Ways, rahimahullah. He said, Adafani Malik. So his maternal uncle is a teacher in this hadith. The bulk of his ahadith that you will see with Al-Imam al-Bukhari came from Al-Imam Malik, Ismail ibn Abi Ways. Some of the scholars dispraised him. He said that his ahadith are weak. Because when he got old, he was mixing up reports. Imam al-Bukhari said, when I met him, he was young. Not just that. I collected his document where he used to write his ahadith. And I asked him, show me those reports you collected from Malik. And I was marking them. I extracted his reports. For the best of the reports of Ismail ibn Abi Ways, where will you find it with Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah? So he said, حدثني إسماعيل قال حدثني مالك عن سهيل بن أبي صالح. What we just said now about Ismail ibn Abi Ways, it also happened to Suhail. Suhail ibn Abi Salih, in his own case, he has brothers. One of his brothers was Salih, the firstborn of his father. His father was also a very learned person, Bakwan, As-Samman, As-Zayyat. Bakwan, the father of Suhail, was selling oil. So he used to be called As-Zayyat. So his name was what? Bakwan. He had four boys and a girl. The girl's name was Sauda. He had Suhail. He had Salih, with which he had his kunya. That's why he's called Abu Salih. So he had Suhail. He had Salih. He had Abdullah and Muhammad. These were his four sons. All of them were from the scholars of hadith. He also had a girl, Sauda. From amongst them, Suhail is the most learned, even though I think he's the youngest. The first of them was Saleh, by which their father took the kunya Abu Saleh. And Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Mata ba'du ikhwatihi, fawajada alayhi. One of his brothers died, Suhail ibn Abi Saleh. His brothers, Saleh, Abdullah, Muhammad, and his sister, Sauda, one of them died. And Imam al-Bukhari said, فَوَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ. He took Sa'ad. He took so backwards in his mind, out of worry, out of pain, over the death of his brother. فَنَسِيَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْحَدِيثِ. That made Suhail ibn Abi Saleh to forget his reports. Suhail ibn Abi Saleh wajada ala wafati ba'd ikhwatihi fanasiya kathiran min al-hadith. He forgot a lot of reports, Suhail ibn Abi Saleh, over the death of one of his brothers. But Al-Imam Malik had met Suhail earlier in life. The scholars of hadith usually delineate that those who were his students in the early part of his life, who took his reports, who narrated his reports, those who narrated his reports after they became weak, after they became to mix reports up. So they know the two groups of people. They give a delineation. From those who in the early life of Suhail, he had taken the report of Suhail. One of them was Al-Imam Malik. And this report from Suhail is from Malik. Ikhwah, sometimes when we mention some of these issues, we want us to understand and appreciate how Allah has preserved this religion. He preserved the religion. He preserved the people. When something happens to the people, the religion still remains preserved. So the scholars know those who took his reports before the worry and pain over the death of his brother made him to begin to forget. They knew those who took reports before. They knew those who took reports after. So those who took reports after, their reports will rank weak, unless supported by those who took reports in the earlier times. This kind of concise, clear-cut, precise preservation is what Allah gave to the Quran and the Sunnah. Well preserved. May Allah make us from the people of Iman until our days that we meet Him. Suhail ibn Abi Saleh reports this hadith from his father, Abu Saleh. His name was Zakwan, or he used to be called Zakwan al-Zayyat. Zakwan al-Zayyat, Abu Saleh, was from the well-known students of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. We all know that Abu Huraira was from the well-known students of the Prophet Muhammad. So you can see the connection between Al-Imam al-Bukhari and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, from Malik, from Suhail, from Abu Saleh, the father of Suhail, from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's like the internet is now connected. There is now service. We now want to hear directly from the messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَقُولُ هَلَكَ النَّاسُ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُ. إِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَقُولُ. If you ever hear a man say, destroyed. Those people, they are ruined. Oh, those people, their own hearts finished. What good is in them? The Prophet said, alayhi salam, فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُمْ. That person talking, he is worse than them. So if they are ruined, he is worse ruined. If they are wretched, he is worse wretched. If they are ruined, he is worse. They are wretched, he is worse. If they are destroyed, he is worse. فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُمْ. He is the worst of them. The most destroyed and the most ruined than them that he is talking about. This hadith has been reported in two forms. The report that says فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُ, that is the one we have seen here. The haraka we see on it is the bombing cash. أَهْلَكُهُمْ أَهْلَكُ, worse, ruined. But it has also been reported أَهْلَكَهُمْ, as a verb, is the one who destroyed them. He caused their ruin. Let us discuss the two, because the two have been discussed by the ulama, and the two are applicable in the circumstance. Sometimes ulama will say regarding things like this, that once these two meanings are not self-contradictory, then it means Allah wants us to gain more from that statement. It is from Jawami or Yukalim. The Prophet will say one thing and it will have a lot of meanings. Ahlakuhum, ahlakahum. Ahlakuhum is worse. Ahlakahum, he caused their ruin. So let us take each and every one of them one after the other. Before that, what does it actually mean if we say قَالَ الرَّجُلُ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ, that a man, if a man says, oh, the people are destroyed. The ulama say, اِتَّفَقَ الْعُلَمُ فِيخْ حُسَيْنَ الْعَوَائِشَ إِنْ الشَّرْحُ عَنْ الْعَدَبُ الْمُفَرِ. He said, اِتَّفَقَ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ هَذَا الزَّمْنِ إِنَّمَا هُوَ فِي مَنْ قَالَهُ عَلَىٰ سَبِيلِ الْإِفْرَاءِ عَلَىٰ النَّاسِ. Shaykh Hussein said, اتفق العلماء, the scholars are agreed, على أن هذا الذنب, that this blame in this hadith, أهلكهم أهلكهم, is worse. Whoever said, hey, people, you people are ruined, all of you, is worse than them. Oh, you people are destroyed, no benefit in you. He caused it, he caused their ruin, he caused their destruction. That the ulama agreed that this is regarding innama huwa fi man qalahu ala sabil al-ijra'i ala an-nas. The ulama agreed that this is regarding someone who said this statement ala sabil al-ijra'i ala an-nas, by way of making the people look low, demeaning them, despising them, insulting them, وَحْبِقَارِهِمْ, by way of showing that he's superior to them, ascribing evil and demean to them. He just wants to show these people are stupid, useless people. He said, وَتَصْدِيلِ نَفْسِهِ عَلَيْهِ. He wants to show superiority for himself over them. وَتَقْبِيحِ أَحْوَالِهِمْ. He wants to announce that their condition is so bad. So he's the one that is good. They are bad. They are ruined. They are wretched. The mean has reached them. If a person is saying that Allah cannot with this intention, he wants to bring down the people, demean them, despise them. Why? You فَبْضِلُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, by way of showing to the world that me, I'm better than them. That is why he's saying that those people are destroyed. He wants to announce that their condition is so bad. They don't have any good in them. This is the person that we are talking about. Someone who wants to despise the people. He wants to insult the people. He wants to say they are bad. So the ulama say, if a person is like this, فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ, is worse than them. You want to show that people are bad, they are this, that, you are better than them. All of them. No good person amongst them. Useless set of people, wretched, ruined. He's saying that عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْإِزْرَاءِ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَاحْتِقَارِهِمْ وَتَسْبِيلِ نَفْسِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَتَقْدِيسِ أَحْوَالِهِمْ. They say, فَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ ذَلِكَ تَحَزُّنًا لِمَا يَرَى فِي نَفْسِهِ وَفِي النَّاسِ مِنَ النَّقْصِ فِي أَمْرِ الدِّينِ. They say, but as for the person who says that تَحَزُّنًا, by way of showing pain, لِمَا يَرَى فِي نَفْسِهِ, regarding what he has seen inside his own self, what he has noticed about himself, wafinas, and about people, mina naqsisi amriti, regarding the faults, regarding the inabilities and inadequacies that have befallen the people regarding their deen. People have fallen short. People are not serious about their deen. People are not serious about this. So he's worried about this. That was what made him to say what he said. People are bad. You see the way people commit zina. You see the way people tell lies. You see the way people cheat one another. You see the way people just kill people anyhow, banditry. Oh, subhanallah. People are ruined. That was why he said it. Fala ba'asa alayhi. There's no blame saying things like this. If you say, oh, people are like this. Now people are not observing salah. Like kama qal, as if a person says, la arifu min ummati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illa annahum yusalluna jami'a. If you say, oh, people are so bad in this ummah now, with bad character, bad behavior. Well, the only thing we can see they are doing now as Muslims is salah. It means they've lost a lot of virtue and excellence. He's still saying that something wrong is with them. They are ruined, wretched. They've lost a lot of things. If he says like this, there's no blame. There's no blame. If a person now says, halakandas, like in our own country, someone says to kill people, people do rituals, people do. So why are people like this? And subhanAllah, oh, something is wrong with us in this country. Aha, there's no blame. Why? Innama yakuluhu tahazzunan. He's only saying it out of pain and worry. Lima yara fi nafsihi wa fi nas. Because of what he is noticing regarding himself and regarding the generality of the people. Mina naqsi fi amritin. Regarding the inadequacies that has befallen them regarding the matters of their deen. So in this kind of a situation, فَلَا بَعْثَ عَلَيْهِ, there is no blame if he says something like that. May Allah protect all of us. So we know هَلَكَ النَّاسِ, when it is blameworthy. When is it blameworthy? إِذَا قَالَهُ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْإِزْرَاءِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, if he says it by way of just, he just wants to demean the people. He just wants to insult the people. He just wants to despise them. But if he said it by way of a killing worry, like saying, oh, the people, their farmlands are all destroyed. Yeah, what kind of a thing is this? Everywhere is bad. Someone said that to the Prophet too. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You remember that hadith that one day the Prophet was delivering the sermon on the day of the Jummah. Someone came and said, halakat al mawashi. The animals are already dying. Oh, Prophet, you are here doing khutbah. He does not intend to demean the people. He is only expressing the problem in the community, which was real at the time. So the problem was real. The situation was like that. No demean or insult or pride was intended by the person saying, Halakanas, people are ruined. So I hope that these two points are clear. The meaning is the person is saying it so as to demean the people, so as to portray them bad, so as to show that they don't want anything, ruined set of people. One example of that is the way most whites address Africans. They pack all of us together to insult us by way of showing racial superiority over us. When they say that from halakunas, they are worse in their own halak. So this kind of a thing is bad. Don't look at the people as a whole. You want to express superiority, you want to express pride. So these people are ruined. They live inside a toilet. All these kinds of statements generalized over a large number of people in an entire continent. It does not contain anything except arrogance. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ya samirita rajula yaqulu halaka an-nas. If you hear somebody behaving like that and saying that, fahuwa ahlakuhum, he is worse than them. How? How would we say he is worse than them? Al-Imam al-Khattabi rahimahullah explains it. He said, ma'anahu, the meaning of that is that la yazalu rajulu ya'ibu an-nas, an individual who continue to despise the people and insult them, wa yadhkuru masawihim, mentioning their faults and spreading it, wa yaqulu fasada an-nasu wa halaku, he'll be saying all about people are bad, people are destroyed. Halaku, they are all ruined and wretched. Wanahwa dhalik, he'll be saying things like these, expressions like this. Faiza fa'ala dhalik, if he says things like that, fahuwa ahlaku, he is worse than them. Hey, that is to say, fahuwa aswa'u hala minhum, his own condition is worse than their own. بما يلحقه من الإثم في عيبهم والوقيعة فيهم, because of what he will reap من الإثم, of serious sin, serious iniquity that he is earning over himself. Why? في عيبهم, because of his insulting them, mentioning their faults and publicizing it, and criticizing and displeasing them. As he is doing that, he is gathering a lot of sins for himself. Perhaps that will even push that kind of a person, push him to begin to feel self-important, self-amazed over the rest of the people. وَرُؤْيَتِهِ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُمْ, he'll even begin to think of himself that he's better than them. So when a person is like this, فَهُوَ أَهْلَهُ, why is he worse? He's worse because he's earning sins for that expression. Insulted this one, abused this one, brandished this one, despised this one. As he does that, he gathers the sin, becoming worse than each and every one of them. He becomes worse than each and every one of them in the sin regarding what he says in his mouth, because all that he intended was to insult them. May Allah forgive all of us and protect us. So this is if we take the reading, Ahlakuhum, he is the worst amongst them. Or if we take the reading that Ahlakahum is the one who destroyed them, Alan Nafsbi, The ulama said it, that it is a'anahum ala al-halaq. He is the one who, by his, every time he sees them, he says, you people are very stupid and wicked. As if to say, he's reminding them, go on to the wicked. Go on. The wicked. So the more he says it, the more the people are pushed to wickedness. So we should avoid describing people like that. Oh, people are ruined. People are destroyed. People are wretched. People are despising them. This is very common with the elites. So-called elites usually abuse people like this. And usually when elites say that, they say that out of arrogance. They want to feel a sense of superiority over others. They have their own faults too, that they do not see. But with the simplest faults of the rest of the people, they generalize this despise and demean. This is very, very bad. The people are only, these people, they are bad, they are wretched, they are destroyed, they are worse, they are this, that, that. When you do that, your own condition is worse than them. If you insult them to be ruined out of arrogance and despise, just know that your own condition is worse than that. May Allah protect us from this evil. The ulama say, wa fil hadithi, النهي عن الافتقار والبغي. In this hadith, there is a prohibition of what al-iftikhar, making yanga, let me say that, iftikhar, being pompous over the rest of the people, والبغي, and being aggressive and oppressive. That statement is very bad and negative. It usually comes together with al-ujub, self-amazement. It usually comes with a sense of superiority over others. Don't look at people and say, you all of you, you are ruined, you are destroyed. Don't say that. Don't say that at all. In fact, the energy with which the one who says it out of pride says it, if it was out of pain, it comes slowly, oh, people have finished. Oh, people are destroyed. The pain accompanies the expression. This one is lawful. When it comes with arrogance, by way of despise, by way of insult, by way of trading blames, trying to create superiority for yourself over others, then just know that you are saying it, you are worse than the people that you are describing. Permit me to say that this thing happens between political parties a lot. And it does not show a barrier of deen. People say, no, remove deen, remove religion from this. Don't, a Muslim cannot remove religion from these affairs. Please be telling your friends in politics, those who participate in political runabouts, APC, PDP, this, tell your friends when they say, let's leave aside religion. No. There is no way a Muslim can leave aside Islam. A Muslim cannot leave Islam aside. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dukhulu fi silmi kaffa. O people of Iman, when you come into Islam, it is total. When they ask you now, Muslim, the primary definition of Islam that you will give, Islam is total submission to it. So how can you submit totally? And then you will say that, let's leave that thing you have submitted into, you have accepted totally. Let's leave it aside because you want to play politics. So there is no way a Muslim can leave Islam aside. Many times even conscious brothers say, let's leave deen out of this. No, you cannot leave deen out of it. You cannot leave deen out of it. Allah said, ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. The ulama say, every time you say, oh, let us leave deen aside, that thing you want to follow is from the khutwat of shaitan. Ikhwa, do we, is this point clear? Those who usually say it, Elites are used to saying this too. Let us leave religion aside. No, don't say that again. That's why you want to follow is from the khutwat of shaitan. It is shaitan that opened that road for you. Otherwise, siratul mustaqim is there. Siratul mustaqim is there for you. Clear, big, going straight. If you now say, let's leave siratul mustaqim aside, where do you want to branch to? You want to branch into where? So لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Each time you have somebody saying, let's leave religion aside. This matter is not a religious, it's a religious matter. Every matter in the life of a Muslim is religious. If you tell him to leave his religion aside, you are telling him to be following shaitan. Allah has prohibited a Muslim from leaving Islam aside in anything that he does. So this statement that one politician from one party is telling the other, you are, they are destroyed, they are finished. If you say it out of arrogance, you are worse than them. Take this point. And usually, Allah finally disgraces people who say that. At the end of the day, they will be met with disgrace. Those who usually go about negative comments about people. You see, at the end of the day, Allah will disgrace them. They have nothing good to say. All they say is evil, 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 evil. Just watch. They are usually finally disgraced. So this hadith prohibits us. We should not be like that as Muslims. We should not be like that. Shaykh Muhammad, Shaykh Hussein al-Awaisha, in his sharp on this hadith, he says that this hadith also, he says, وَفِيهِ عَدَمُ الْإِكْثَارِ مِنَ السَّمِّ وَذِكْرِ الْعُيُوبِ. This hadith also tells us that we should not talk much about the faults of people. Adamu al-iksari min adzam. You always, always ever criticizing people. وَذِكْرِ الْعُيُوبِ. And mentioning their faults and their inadequacies. Some people are like that. So don't do it again. لأنه يستذلب قصوة القلب والإحباط. Because mentioning faults all the time, you mentioning it, and the people you are mentioning it to, it brings قصوة القلب. It makes the heart to become hard. Mentioning faults all the time causes hard-heartedness. والإحباط. It also makes the people to despair, to become hopeless, thinking that they can never be better. Why every day somebody is mentioned one fault, and there is bad, and there is this, this is bad, this is this, this is evil, this is evil. Even in things that are good, they find the bad in it. If a man brings that with his wife, we discussed it yesterday in the program about the hadith of Ummu Zarq. No woman likes that a man complains. Please manage her like that. You were told already that she was created from a bent tree. So leave her like that. If you have to correct her, don't let it be every day. Otherwise, she will despise you. Women, when you complain too much, at the beginning they listen. Later on, they become worried over your complaints. Later on, they develop a thick skin, and direct the blame to you that you are the one that has problems. They don't have problems. So what have you gained from your complaint? So this hadith is from the narrations that say, it says, وَفِيهِ عَدَمُ الْإِكْثَارِ مِنَ السَّمِ. This hadith contains the point of benefit that we should not be much of dispraising people. وَذِكْرِ الْعُيُوبِ. And mentioning their faults. لِأَنَّهُ يَسْتَجْلِبُ قَصْوَةَ الْقَلْبِ وَالْإِحْبَاطِ. Because frequently criticizing and mentioning people's faults, it breeds hard-heartedness and hopelessness. فَحِينَ يَكُولُ قَائِلُ مَثَلًا فَسَدَ النَّاسِ. So So, for example, when a person begins to say, oh, the people are stupid, they are ruined, they are wretched, there's nothing good about them. وَذَهَبَ الْخَيْرُ. Oh, there's no goodness anywhere amongst these people. وَعَمَّتِ الْفِتْنَةُ. Oh, fitan, trials, trouble, all about them is problem. Jaga jaga, problem, this, that, that. He goes, this is what he goes saying all the time. لَمْ يَبْقَ فِي الْمُجْتَمَعِ صَدِقٌ وَلَا أَمِينٌ. This society does not have any honest person or trustworthy person in it. If you go on saying things like this in a community, فَهَذَا الْقَوْلُ بَعِثٌ عَلَى الْيَأْسِ. This kind of a statement. بَعِثٌ عَلَى الْيَأْسِ. It will agitate despair. It will agitate hopelessness in the society. Everybody says, okay, since everybody is bad now, let us be showing bad to bad. So since everybody can kill, oh, let everybody be ready to kill the next person. SubhanAllah. Since everybody is cheating, let everybody be ready to cheat. Why? You were announcing and talking about evil every day. So it is as if everybody is now evil. So everybody despairs. That's ishbat. There is al-ya'su and there is al-qanut. Qanut is that min rahmatillah. They lose any hope from the mercy of Allah. So everybody thinks it is bad. You now begin to say, no, the country has become a country of jungle justice. Everybody begins to prepare against an enemy that it does not have. An assumed enemy. The man is preparing as if his neighbor wants to attack him. And the neighbor is also preparing that he wants to attack him. What causes it is, one of it is, repeatedly announcing and spreading evil. Repeated. Do you not see that governments have agencies? In our own country, we have National Orientation Agency, AVIC, and the Ministry of Information, and various media of government. So to tell the people what is right and dispel negative news. Equal negative news destroys the society. The ulama say it is ba'ifun an ilya'asi. It brings about al-ya'as. People lose hope. Wal ihbat. People despair. Wal qanut min rahmatillah. Al qanut min rahmatillah. They think that will Allah ever be merciful to us? People say, can this our country ever be good? If the reason people got so involved in this is because of the widespread of negativeness. So he said, فَلْيَكُنْ النَّقْدُ النَّقْدُ فَلْيَكُنْ مِنْ أَجْلِ الْبِنَاءِ وَالْإِصْلَاحِ لَا لِلْهَدْمِ وَالتَّدْمِيرِ. So let us therefore make our naqd when we advise and criticize. Let it be مِنْ أَجْلِ الْبِنَاءِ وَالْإِصْلَاحِ. Let it be because we want to build and rectify. لَا لِلْهَدْمِ وَالتَّدْمِيرِ. Let it not be because we want to destroy and ruin people. If you spread negative news, you may be ruining the society. Just take it that you are worse than the society you are describing. Just take it like that. You spreading negative news everywhere, you are the worst in that society. وَحِينَمَا تَرَى خَلَلًا فِي صَدِيقٍ لَكَ أو ولد أو نحو ذلك. If you find خلل, faults, في صديق لك, in one of your friends, أو ولد, or one of your children, أو نحو ذلك, or people like that, فحرص عند نهيك إياه عن المنكر. Make efforts as you tell him to keep away from evil and to أطيعه الأمل. في صلاح حاله وتوبته. Try to provide him hope. Give him hope. في صلاح حاله. That don't worry, things will still be better. Things will still be good. وتوبته. Give him hope. Just repent. Allah will accept your repentance. Allah will forgive you. Allah will help you. Allah. But all that you will say is evil. you make the person think that they can never achieve goodness in this dunya. وأما أن تعيد على إحباطه فهذا أمر خطير. But that you go on spreading evil, negative news, destruction, and falsehood, and it is cause people go to cause death. So you, like the Arabs will say, Yazid bin Abdullah, you worsen also what he what on the ground red inside the cave, you add more water or adding salt to the wound, he will not correct if you are like that. So he went on at the end of it. He said, وَإِذَا رُعَيْتَ نَاكِدًا تَفَرَّدَ لِلنَّقْدِ. If you see someone who is a critic, يَتَفَرَّقُ لِلنَّقْدِ, all that he does is criticize. وَقَعْدَ عَلَى الْأَمَلِ وَالدَّعْوَةِ وَالْعِبَادَةِ وَقَعْدَ عَنِ الْأَمَلِ وَالدَّعْوَةِ وَالْعِبَادَةِ. You find him less of really teaching people what is right, less of ibadah, less of nawafil, less of azkar. All that he busies with is تَفَرَّقَ لِلْنَقْدِ. All his time and attention is criticism. وَلَمْ تَرَهُ يُقَدِّمُ الصَّوَابَ فِي الْإِعْتِقَادِ وَالْمَنْهَجِ وَالْعِبَادَةِ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. You hardly see him يُقَدِّمُ الصَّوَابَ, telling the people, presenting to them what is right regarding the aqidah of the Muslim, regarding the manhaj, regarding the ibadah, وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ, and things like that. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. Understand that this kind of a person is upon evil. All that he does is criticism. He never sits down to teach people what is right. This one is right. This one is right. This one is right. Do this one. Do this one. Do this one. Don't do this one. Don't do this one. Do this one. All that he does is people are like this. People are like this. People are like that. Finding fault in everybody. فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُمْ. You find out at the end of the day that this person is worse than the people he's criticizing. He goes about finding the faults of the people. And usually the intention in these circumstances is that they want to show a sense of superiority over everybody. So they want to show the faults of everybody, to show as if they don't have faults. And usually that's the reverse psychology of that thing. People who criticize people a lot, they want to ascribe perfection to their own selves. It's a reverse psychology. It's a natural thing that will happen. This one has a fault. This one has a fault. If it were amongst the scholars, this one does not know so thing. This one does not know so thing. This one has this fault. Oh, this one has this. Oh, this one has this. Oh, this one has this. The reverse psychology is that all these things he's saying that these people have, he does not have them. So he's better than all of them. Well, they have faults, he does not have. So, and we know that there is no human being like that. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when you find someone, is after mi'ita, ar-rajula yakulu halaka nas, fahuwa ahlakuhum. If you find a man getting busy with instructive criticisms, rather than give nasiha, all that he makes is at-ta'ir, insult this one, abuse this one, criticize that one, oh, condemn that one. You hardly see him sit down to teach Kitabu Tawheed, Riyadu Salihin, Al-Arba'un. No, doesn't have time to really, really establish and set that feet on the people of unrightness. No. His own job in the Ummah is to look for the faults where he thinks there are faults. So at the end of the day, he's the best person. So what happens that day? The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told us that he is the worst of the people. May Allah protect us from this evil. I hope that it is clear. But if the situation is actually about feeling pain, feeling worried, feeling a sense of serious affection and out of affection that the people should do what is good. You see that they are doing what is bad and you are pained out of it. Yes, you answer, ah, people are bad. They did this, they did that, they did this. This is separate. But just comes out in the public to say, oh, this one is ruined, this one is wretched, this one is this, this one is that. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that one doing that is worse than the others. And he is also contributing to their evil. Because at the end of the day, people begin to think that there is no way these evils can be curtailed in the society. So everybody should be evil. So you see, evil is encouraged even when he is just criticizing the people and despising them. So he is worse than them. It breeds arrogance in him. May Allah protect all of us. I hope that this hadith is clear about Amr. Amin wa iyaq Abu Amr. There's a question here. How is a Muslim going to relate to it while working in an organization with non-mahram or even female Jews? They are working with whether Muslims, women who are not from your harem. You are not a mahram to those women. And in fact, in some cases, they are non-Muslim women, whether Christians or Jews. Are you going to cope with them? Because they assume that you are fighting with them if you don't speak with them. No one says you should not speak with a non-Muslim. I don't think we said that here. That don't talk to a non-Muslim. I don't think we said that. So it is lawful to talk to non-Muslims. It is lawful to greet non-Muslims. In fact, it is lawful to send gifts to non-Muslims, especially the kind of ones that you walk together. You see them, they see you. It is necessary that you maintain a good relationship with them. At least don't cause them harm. And whenever you can benefit them, benefit them. Whatever connects you regarding your job, do your job immediately. Don't cause harm to them. Benefit them when you can. Face your job. This is enough for you to relate with them. Don't cause them harm. Benefit them when you can. Face your job. The same way if you have Muslim women who are not from your maharim, avoid the cordiality that's not necessary. Don't cause harm to her. Benefit her when you can. Mind your business. Whenever you can provide help, help. Make sure that that help is within the limits of the Sharia. And then mind your business. Most times, evil arise when people don't really mind their business. And many people don't mind their business. If you are mind your business, face your work, face your family, face your home. Why are you interested trying to bring your nose in the affairs of others? Please keep your nose away. Mind your business. If you mind your business, there will be no problem in that. I hope that it is clear, Ikhwa.
The question here is, can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you, Bismillah.
Now, may Allah preserve you upon goodness. Is what is the meaning of this saying that most Nigerians say is something that happens? They say in Nigeria never happened to you.
It is from what we are talking about. This is from the ihbat and the qanut min rahmatillah. It is from the despair, hopelessness that they have arrived at this. Who told them that Nigeria has become a disease that afflicts people? It is from the huge sense of negativity, and it is bad. Those who say it are worse. Have you not seen some of those who are saying it, how they have been put to disgrace and demeaned? Those who say it, some people who even called us a zoo, what is their end? What is the end of the head of those who say this country is a zoo? How did they end? It is from the Sunnah of Allah. When you describe a large group of people like that, not sometimes, not out of worry for them or pity for them or genuine interest to help support them out of their condition, but you are saying it by way of showing, you know, despising them, relegating them, in fact, arrogating to yourself what you are not, then Allah will bring you disgrace and show you to the people that you are worth. Most of those who will say, Nigeria do this, Nigeria do that, you cannot entrust them with 10 naira. I tell you, they will betray you. They are just what they are saying about the country. It is not proper to describe people like that. Please, we should stop these kinds of expressions. It is bad. Unfortunately, politicians, let me say this, in parties where they are opposing one another, they like this kind of statements. So don't say, as a Muslim, yeah, I can't say that. They say, no, leave religion as I tell them. I'm a Muslim. I can't leave Islam aside in everything that I'm doing. All those kinds of negative statements and assertions, they are not lawful for a Muslim to say them. If you hear somebody say it, admonish the person. If you can't, leave him alone. Keep your mind and your attention away from such expressions. May Allah protect all of us. Is that clear, Abu Amir?
I'm clear, Tanar. Sorry, tomorrow, sir.
I mean, what you have.
Bakr Khan, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it correct for one who feels disturbed about the situation of people today go to the extent of saying it is rather better to improve yourself spiritually before focusing on others?
I don't know the meaning of improving yourself spiritually. Islam is a full package. Improving yourself spiritually, what do you mean? What Islam at every point in time tells us, you want to learn, get a teacher. Get a reliable teacher. This teacher will teach you what to learn first. And usually the first thing is the creed of Islam. What makes you a Muslim? Usul al-Iman. This is the first thing to pay attention to as a Muslim. The usul, the foundations of your Iman as a Muslim. Now the issue is, as you learn the foundations of Iman, will you not observe Salat? So as you do that, you're also learning Salat. You're also learning Tahara. You are learning Fikhul Miyah, how to handle water, how your conduct as a Muslim. So you can see, Islam is not like path, where you can say, oh, I want to take one part and leave one part. No, it's a full package. So when we learn the religion from someone who knows it, he begins to teach you all these things, picks two or three or four subjects by which gradually you can grow as a Muslim. Abu Amir, I'm thinking that we are a bit poor in this aspect. If a Muslim, if a Christian accepts Islam today, usually people don't know the first things to pay attention to. You want to teach a Christian who just accepts Islam yesterday, Nahu and Sof. Do you know what you are doing? Yesterday the man accepted Islam. Today say, let him start going to madrasa. At the madrasa, you want to teach him Nahu and Sarf and Tajweed. you don't know what you are doing. You start from the usul of iman, the iman that he has accepted. You begin to explain the foundation and the details of that iman to him first. And at the same time, you start to teach him the conduct of a Muslim, beginning from how to manage water, what forms of water, how will he ease himself in the bathroom, what is the conduct there. All of these basic things. If it were a woman, hijab immediately. So, but to say you want to focus on spiritual things, best to focus. I don't know the meaning of that one. So that was why I said perhaps we should provide the answer from this angle. Focus on usul iman and your usul in the ibadat. Foundations of ibadah, foundations of iman. You carry on upon them and you build up upon them gradually. When you now know what Islam is in itself, you can start looking for a madrasa to learn Nahu and Sarf. I hope that it is clear. Usually, many of our teachers, we don't come so down to the basics of our religion. Many Muslims don't know the basics of our religion. Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illa. I tell you this. Many Muslims, in many gatherings, we are talking about big, big, big matters. The basic issues of iman of a Muslim is hardly discussed. And they are very important. Many Muslims, we don't pay attention, and that's not good. Now, what I'm saying now, I'm also saying something we are doing that's not good. But you can see from pain and worry, and genuine interest to cause and bring about a change. But if it was about insult and despise, whoever does that is worse than the people he's criticizing. Is this clear now, Abu Amir?
No, sir.
Allah protects all of us. Now we take one more question. We call it a day. We have a class today again, bismillah. The class is about al-ikhlas and al-khushu'u fi salah. A person being sincere for Allah's sake alone. What does it mean? Ikhlas, ikhlas, ikhlas. We usually talk about it. What does it mean to say someone has ikhlas? What will you gain if you have ikhlas? What will you lose if you don't have ikhlas in your ibadah? If I'm a businessman, how does ikhlas come into my business? If I'm on salat, how does ikhlas come into my salah? And then in the aspects of al-khushu'u fi salah, what does it mean to say al-khushu'u? What is the meaning of khushu'u? What is the meaning? What does it mean? Khushu'u. Many times we translate that to mean conscious attention in salah. But it means more than that. Al-khushu'u in salah means more than that. It means just more than just attention itself. So how do we achieve that khushu? What are the signs of a khashi'a, a person who observes salah with khushu? How will you know when you see this person observe salah with khushu? There are symbols, there are signs that will make you know. How do you know? What will you gain if you observe salah with khushu? These are the issues we hope to address in the class later today, inshallah. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it as something we are making serious efforts to do for his sake. Why do I call it efforts? Because it has to do with ikhlas. You cannot keep ikhlas without efforts. Why? Those things that want to destroy the ikhlas, they are regularly available. They don't go away. May Allah protect all of us. Abu Amir, can we call it a day?
No, Mr. Khan. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.